So it's finally out there, the programme for government, the document that is the guiding star for how this government should operate over the next 5 years. And here's what's in it. Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
So it all came together pretty quickly in the end. As often happens with these things, you're waiting around for ages and then suddenly there's a big bang and it's done. Because as recently as Monday, I thought this government might be pretty lucky to be formed on January 22nd and that there could be a bit of difficulty in just getting everything over the line. But they pulled a few mammoth days over the weekend and on Monday itself to get most of the agreement finished. And now we have a programme for government. It's gone to Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil today. Those meetings are ongoing as I am talking. So if there is some big massive scandal that comes tonight and you're listening to this after that, that's why. We haven't quite got to it yet, because while they've been in their meeting, I've been pouring through the document as well, more than 150 pages of it. So let's start going through it. I suppose first, who's going to be in the government? Obviously, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, they had 86 seats between them. They only needed one more. They're after getting 9 because they are bringing on board both the regional independent group and the two Healy Ray brothers. Get onto them in a minute, because that's the biggest surprise to me. But the regional independents, 4 of them are going to be ministers. They are 2 super junior ministers, one of them being Sean Canny of Galway East, the other being Noel Grealish of Galway West. So Galway has done particularly well out of this arrangement and is going to see 2 super junior ministers within the county. Then 2 other junior ministers for the regional independent group, Marion Harkin, the former MEP and TD for Sligo Leitrim, and then Kevin Boxer-Moran, who is returning to the OPW, having been OPW minister in the past. He lost his seat in 2020 when he was in Shane Ross's Independent Alliance. He's back, won it back in some style in the last election as the so-called Minister for Athlone, I suppose, as he will be, and is now a government minister. And then there's the Healy Rays. And certainly it seems like Michael Healy Ray is going to be a junior minister, the junior minister for forestry, and that Danny Healy Ray is going to be on the back benches here as a member of the government. And I still don't fully understand why they've done this, because they're a guiding star and their only priority, as they've mentioned multiple times, is Kerry, Kerry, Kerry. And that's not what a junior minister does. A junior minister, especially a minister for forestry and agriculture, they're a minister for the entire country. And you're as likely on a wet Thursday evening to be in Donegal or in, I don't know, Mayo or somewhere as you are in Kerry. So don't fully get it. Maybe they just decided we're sick of being on the opposition benches. We want to make more of a difference. Let's take this Healy Ray project forward. When they knew they could have been very comfortably re-elected as however many Dáils they like. Maybe some of the speculation around Leinster House that this is their last go around, that they're not going to run next time around. And so let's give it a go and have a junior ministry and then set it up for their children, who are very popular local councillors down in Kerry, to take over the mantle after that. Don't know fully. Hopefully we'll get a bit of clarity over the next few days whenever Michael Healy Ray does an honest interview about it. But the programme for government, that's what we're really talking about. And I mean, look, there is stuff in this across every single aspect of society. It's 154 pages long. It runs through a bunch of different chapters. Let me get them up here and tell you what exactly they are. So you've got growing the economy and tourism with agriculture, fisheries, all that in there. Delivery and reform, that being a focus on infrastructure, housing, the environment, children, education, further and higher education, transport, the health section then, including disability, mental health, older people. You've got social protection, communities, Gaeltacht, justice, migration, arts, sports, media, culture, and then our place in the world, and a very small 2 pages on strengthening local democracy. So how is it going to work? Micheál Martin will be Taoiseach as of next Wednesday. He will be Taoiseach until the 16th of November 2027, when he will step aside and Simon Harris, the leader of Fine Gael, will step in at that time for the final 2 years. They've committed to 5 budgets, which gives us a pretty good idea that the next election should be, all going to plan, in November 2029. Mark that down on your cards now. And then you'll see some others, you know, other ministries have agreed to swap the likes of finance and public expenditure. Finance will go to Fine Gael for the first while and then Fianna Fáil after that. And then moving around to some of the other departments, housing will stay with Dara O'Brien. But a lot of them are moving back and forward. Fine Gael are going to get agriculture. You had Tip Martin Hayden to be the next minister there. Education also going to Fine Gael and health. Justice coming back. Big question for Micheál Martin over who he puts in there. Jim O'Callaghan's been mentioned. I see that as less likely. I'm of the view if you offered a guy a junior ministry last time and he turned you down, why would you go and offer him a senior ministry now? And I think that will be Micheál Martin thinking. So don't 100% know that. James Brown, who was the junior minister in that department, who's been a part of the negotiating team, he's also being tipped. I could well see him being the justice minister. So all that's still to be carved out. We won't know who the ministers are until next Wednesday, when the Dáil sits, when Micheál Martin is elected, and when ultimately he calls them all over and says, here's what your job is. But that won't stop us speculating in the meantime. Now, for the content, the actual policies, the stuff that they will all say, well, is well more important than jobs for the boys. And this is just a kind of scattershot through of the policies that caught my attention. We might as well start with housing. It's one of the biggest issues for people. And this government is promising to build 300,000 homes between now and 2030. There are plans to reform and streamline compulsory purchase orders to make them easier to do for local authorities to get land to progress building projects. Introduce statutory timelines for the connections for water and wastewater for housing developments. This is an interesting one because a lot of developers will tell you it's an absolute nightmare getting Irish Water to connect them up, and it is severely stalling the development and the finishing of some estates. And some estates have heard of that their estate is all finished, but they just can't get the water connections to actually get it up and get people moved into those houses. So introducing legal timelines that would have to be done in is sort of an interesting approach. Extend out the Help to Buy scheme to 2030, as well as the First Homes scheme. So the government putting money back into your pocket, essentially, in order to part finance the purchase of your first home. They're both being extended out to the end of the decade. Then a target of 12,000 social homes a year on average throughout the lifetime of this government. You would assume that will be backloaded and we'll see much more at the end of this government than we're going to see this year and next year, but we'll see how that progresses. And some things in there for renters as well. Progressively increase the renter's tax credit. That's fine. But an interesting one, establish a rental price register. Now, I don't know 100% how this is going to work. But if this is a register by which you have to declare in an area how much rent is being charged, that's sort of an interesting proposal, because at least then you could compare it to down the road and go, well, actually, I'm getting totally ripped off here. Now, is that going to change the landlord's mind? I don't know. Is the outcome going to be that actually it's the landlord who's charging too little on the road is going to suddenly look at that and go, well, actually, I'm going to try and bump things up because I'm not making enough money here? There's two sides to that. On the tourism front, remember The Gathering 2013? Everyone was broke and they decided, Leo Varadkar heading into the time, let's get everyone over to Ireland and all these rich Americans, expats, etc., and get them to spend a load of money. Well, it's coming back in new form. This is going to be called the Year of the Invitation. The invitation being the invitation to come back and visit Ireland, I presume. So there is one of your big tourism ideas, along with the VAT rate, of course, for hospitality being reduced in the next budget to 9%. That's a pretty big one that a lot of restaurants in particular had been calling for. Let's move on to health then. One of the interesting ones, and I asked about this in the Fianna Fáil manifesto launch, which feels about 7 years ago, legislate for a right to be forgotten for cancer survivors who are seeking insurance to take effect 7 years after the end of their treatment, because it can be an absolute nightmare for people who are well over their cancer diagnosis, who are healthy, normal people again, and are trying to get mortgages, are trying to get insurance of any other kind, particularly mortgages, though. Getting mortgage protection insurance is very difficult after a cancer diagnosis. So that's one, I think, that is to be welcomed. On the cancer front as well, there is a mention in there to, it's gone now where it is, but basically to fund wigs, post-mastectomy products, hair pieces, specialised bras, that kind of thing for cancer survivors as well, to fully fund them. It's something that Heather Humphrey started in the Social Protection Department and is now looking to be extended. The wider health front, reduce waiting times to this launch of care target of 10 to 12 weeks, increase the number of hospital inpatient beds by 4,000 to 4,500, decrease the number of ICU beds by 100. Four new elective hospitals are to be built, two in Dublin, one in Cork and one in Galway. I could be wrong, but I think this promise was in the last programme for government as well and hasn't been massively progressed. Apologies to the Department of Health that I'm wrong on that, but I've definitely read that promise before. Open the National Children's Hospital. Yep, open the National Children's Hospital. That is the extent of the commitment around the hospital. Of course, a lot of the work is already done, and there's a lot in this document about future infrastructure projects.
that is based around the National Children's Hospital being so over budget. So it's an interesting one to see there, and just to put it so fairly baldly. Let's just open it. Let's just get it open, guys, and then you'll see how great it is, seems to be the extent of that. Increased staffing and resources for spinal surgeries for children, increase the number of consultants in emergency medicine by 50%, expand free GP services to children under the age of 12, consider further reductions to the drugs payment scheme and to hospital parking charges. People who are chronically on prescriptions or having to visit hospital, that's a big one. It is a big expense. Expand the ages for bowel screen and breast check. We've talked about this in other podcasts. People are getting those diseases younger now. It's not entirely explained why. And so there is a good logical argument for changing and reducing the years, or expanding the years rather, bringing younger people into the screening process, to make sure that they catch things early, which is the best way to catch these things. Explore ways to ban commercial sunbed use is an interesting one. And then expand the eligibility for free IVF, not necessarily expanding it beyond one round, but expanding the amount of people who could get it. Now, on the climate and transport front, obviously there's been quite a lot of criticism of this incoming government, people saying it's supported by independents who are very climate sceptic, and this government will be a bit crap. And a lot of the section in the climate element is a continuation of stuff that was already being done, sticking to the target of reducing emissions by 51% out to 2030 compared to 2018 levels. That's there. Improve retrofitting grants in order to deliver more B2 homes each year. Legislate to allow for district heating systems and explore the idea of group retrofitting to make it more economical. Then there's an interesting one. Commission an independent review into the speed and the level of pass-through from wholesale prices to retail prices when it comes to energy. So what's actually going on when the wholesale market prices fall? Why is it 2 or 3 months before we feel that in our pockets and providers start cutting? Whereas once they start going up, you feel it straight away. That's an interesting one. Commission review there. Roll out contactless fare payments on all public transport to keep fares low and affordable. Refocus the Department of Public Expenditure to have more control over big spending projects. Upgrade the real-time tracking of public transport. Is there anything more annoying? It's when you're waiting for a bus and it says 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, and then never arrives, and the next one is 20 minutes away. Infuriating. Further expand free public transport for children and ensure that all metropolitan areas have a tailored public transport plan, including bus and light rail where appropriate. So not quite the Lewis for every county that was talked about during the election, but still Lewis for some counties. Maybe Waterford could get one just because it would be called the Lewis. I just love that idea. You know, the Lewis boy. I'm getting the Lewis, you know, it could work. Moving to justice, and the Department of Justice is going to take on a whole pile of responsibility from integration with regards to immigration, and there's big segments in the plan on that. But separately, publish a retail crime strategy, including tackling retail defamation. This is where people, say, are accused of robbing something, maybe falsely, and they then sue, saying, well, you told everybody in this shop that I was a robber and you were wrong, so you owe me money for defamation of character. Cracking down on that kind of thing. Create 280 refuge spaces by 2026. Stronger laws around the spiking of drinks. Establish specialised judges to handle domestic, sexual and gender-based violence cases. Here's one that's kind of interesting. Fund unmanned drones to patrol the coast and ports on the lookout for illegal drugs. The Gardaí also mentioned in relation to drugs on this, and the use of AI. Support Gardaí to use AI in the investigation of criminal cases subject to oversight, and consider the establishment of a second Garda training college. And education, decrease the student-teacher ratio to 19 to 1 at primary school level, increase capitation grants for school funding, a new DESH Plus scheme to help the most disadvantaged schools. Not sure how that will be massively different to DESH Band 1 and 2. I suppose this just adds a third band with more money. And then provide free period products in schools is one that caught the eye as well. On agriculture, government saying it will do everything in its power to retain the EU nitrates derogation, including establishing a new cabinet committee on water quality. Also establish a standalone Minister of State for Fisheries and the Marine again, that had been done away with in the past. Further education, continue to reduce student fees for third level, increase the SUSE grants. Here's an interesting one that came up. Examine the feasibility of implementing an SMS scam filter that functions like an email spam filter to help reduce scam messages, to help get rid of these scam texts. That's a weird one for the government to be doing, because you buy your spam software or you get it off your employer or whatever. Usually it's not the government you get it off. So I don't know. Interesting one. Will it happen? Not so sure. Then there's the new infrastructure, a bit more detail on the new infrastructure or unit within the Department of Public Expenditure. It's also going to be subject to a Public Investment Act, which would require the agencies to meet timelines on the development of project appraisals and other evaluations to reduce delays in decision making and ensure value for money across all capital projects. Believe it when you see it, says a lot of people. The prospect of a managed investment account, remember this, being set up for each child on birth, that's also going to be explored during the lifetime of the government. And I think there's an awful lot of explore, examine, look at, consider in this document of things that they could do. But if they don't, oh, sure, we only said we'd explore it anyway and we can quietly drop it 2 years in when no one's paying attention. Watch out for that. So that's a run through. A quick whistle-stop tour through the programme for government and what's in it, what will basically govern the way we're governed for the next 5 years. Of course, I have to remember last time we did this and we looked at the programme for government, a month later we were all in lockdown and everything got thrown out the window. So, you know, it really was very much slimmed down. Actually, we were already in the lockdown when the programme for government was agreed, now that I remember it properly, but none of it got done for 2 years because of that. So, hey, let's see what's on the horizon. That's it for this week's episode of Let Me Explain. Keep an eye on government formation. We'll be back next week with another episode and I will chat to you then.